Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, guide us and direct us so that we may have good future days. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. We all want a comfortable life here on earth, but often the unexpected happens. We know this, and that is why we have thoughts about preparing for the unexpected, so that we are able to avoid a painful experience. I have had a few hard lessons in life and quite a few close calls. Also, I have seen other people hurting when there is no way to help them. All this has developed my preparedness thoughts into a quick 5-minute episode broadcast here on KKXX Radio. I hope they inspire you. Today I'm going to tell a few of my favorite ones, and they cover a wide range of subjects. I hope some of them will inspire you to plan for the just in case. Oh, take for instance if there is an emergency or confusion in our society. You will want to have a simple plan for your family. Oh, like where would you have a meeting place if your home was damaged? And there might be a relative who you all could call and coordinate information. Someone who lives a distance away from your home, who would not be affected by the devastation. Now, this is good for young children to know, and older children also. These plans will have a long time to be remembered by your children. Years they will remember them, and the common sense ideas and discernment will be remembered and practiced. So besides having a primary place, meeting place, and a secondary meeting place, remember to have a way to stay safe, to stay warm, to have a little food and water. And throughout this all, remember, do not panic. And what does a young person do if their parent cannot be contacted? Well, there's always the authorities to speak to. That's good. And you also have to be careful about an adult that they should not listen to. And what does the child do if there is someone who they should have a fear of? And that's simple. Run away. Now, even as an adult, we could be faced with that situation. And the best thing to do might be to run away. Well, in history, there have always been brave men who have faced challenges. Our American history is full of men like that, including our founding fathers, who were not inclined to run away. And they made our country free today. But there's a time for each. Now, our founders were concerned with having the liberty to worship and to serve God. Oh, but that's not the case in every nation. You look around at the nations and you find that there are leaders who were not good for their people. Look at Lenin. Look at Stalin. Look at Hitler. Look at Mao. Oh, all these were concerned for power and not the freedom of their people. You see, we have to use discernment and remind the children, the younger people, that discernment is of a key importance. Great leaders are some people to look at, though, and you do have to appreciate them for what they have done And yes, those leaders that I just mentioned they did a lot. And just like our presidents have done a lot too. And mostly our presidents have been decent people, mostly. But that's the case of leadership, and it brings out the great qualities and the faults. You know, speaking of great, you think of Alexander the Great. Now, he was a leader, and he conquered so much of the world at that time in about 330 BC. He conquered many, many kingdoms, and he made many of his followers very rich because they kept the plunder that they took. So, well, in those days, everyone was concerned with the basics, just like we are today. And everyone needed to have their needs met, which were food and water, primarily. You cannot avoid the need for food and water, no matter the time period or the day or the situation. And that's good for us to remember. So in those days of Alexander the Great, his army had, they farmed a form of wheat which was called spelt. Spelt is the parent of our modern wheat. And you can still find spelt today, but you have to look for it. It releases its energy and its nutrients more slowly than our modern wheat. And so it was more useful for long marches and such as that the army did. Well, Alexander the Great, he had some very interesting things to say, and one of them I like to remember. Well, it comes in three translations. One translation is fortune favors the bold. Another is fortune favors the brave. And another is fortune favors the prepared mind. And you know, I like that last translation the best because I like to talk about preparedness. So I like to remember fortune favors the prepared mind. I think of preparation as being spiritual and mental and physical. Spiritual with Jesus Christ, and that is for the sake of our eternal destiny. Mentally, so that we can use our mind to prepare for the various situations that may come about. And physical, well, I think of that because we all need food to live. And always throughout time, that has been getting attention from all the thinkers, that we need food and water. And how can we stay warm enough? That's just a matter of reason and history. Now, because each of us are all different people, we think of things in a little bit different way. If we think of being prepared as each one of us would think of, then we can be helpful to other people when we go through life and find differences. So if each of us just think about those basics, water, food, and warmth, well, everyone can think of it a little bit different. Some of people will think of things in getting first the first step and then the second step, which would be better water, food, and warmth. And that's just how people are. We do things a little bit different, and we have the opportunity to benefit each the other. That's why we want to be a community. And besides, we want to have compassion and for other people. That's just so human. We do that. We have compassion for our neighbors. That's a part of the relationship that we have with God. Yes, we have our spiritual relationship, and we have the great commandment that tells us to have to love God and love our neighbor. That's a part of the Bible. So if we ever do go through those hard times, we do want a Bible. We do want spiritual guidance and comfort. And a part of that comfort is, I see it as song. When we sing songs and praise God, and so I like to say, have a Bible and a hymnal, because that's just so, it's the way people are made, I think. Well, there are so many steps that each one of us can take, and we keep taking steps to direct ourselves towards that preparedness, each in their own way. When we do face a just-in-case situation, that's the way it is. That's the way it always has been. Alexander the Great and his army had those things happen to them. Every people of the world, every family, every person has had a situation which they, wish they had a little more preparation and thought for. But that's just our human nature and our human experience, that sooner or later, things happen. Sometimes they're a random event, and sometimes it's just a normal part of life. And it's uncertainties, and suddenly they come about. We have hardships, and we have easy parts in life. And that's just life. I know that we all have things come in front of us that are not easy to deal with. But there are good things about having a hard time, hardship, and that is we have to search inside ourselves to find the answers. Do we rely on God, or do we rely on our own strengths, or something that we don't know? Do we rely on the government? Well, it's all different, and each one of these hardships help us to define who we are, and who we are in God's kingdom too. There's times when you will need some kind of a tool to overcome the hardships, and again, that's what I think about the Bible and even the hymnals. But tools to overcome hardships, I mean, you always think in the practical sense too. Do you need a hammer? Do you need a saw? Do you need a knife? A knife. See, I kind of like knives. And I think that we all have good use of a knife. Oh, it might be a kitchen knife. It might be a pocket knife. But certainly you need a knife. And along with that knife, you need a sharpener. So as you think about preparedness, don't forget that knife sharpener. And sure, you could use a flat rock. yeah, but they don't work so good. I guess they do work a little bit. Get a sharpener. Keep it with you. For me, I like what's called an easy lap sharpener. I think those ones are just the best. They are made of diamonds, embedded on steel. And I like them in medium and in fine or extra fine. But everybody has their own way of looking at what to do and how to do what, so you look at it too. But knives. Knives are good tools. They might be the most fundamental human tool that there has ever been. Oh, besides for a stick. Well, anyway, knives and preparedness just kind of go together. There's a lot of people who would say a knife is essential to life. Or maybe you need two knives. Oh, a small knife and a larger knife. Well, you get to think about that for yourself and make your own definition for what you would call small, medium, or large in the way of a knife. Yeah. Well, some people even like a small or large pocket folding knife. Well, they're good too, and I really like the Victorinox multifunction knives. You can get the smallest one, and that's good. Or you can get a large one with many tools on it. That's good, too. It just we all have preferences. And with our preferences, we make decisions and we take actions. And that's just life, isn't it? Well, about the knives. Knives are just plain handy. And if you think about kitchen knives, every kitchen needs a knife. What does a kitchen knife consist of? Well, sometimes they're small. Sometimes they're a fillet knife, or sometimes it's a big chef's knife. And of course, you must have a bread knife. See, knives are good. And if you like knives, you have to be careful. You don't get too carried away and have too many knives, but knives are good. You just have to think about them. And of course, remember your sharpener. Again, I'll say that. You do want to have a sharp knife for in the kitchen preparing food. And food. Now, food is a big area of discussion because in a disaster, nobody knows what to prepare for. Because nobody knows what the disaster will be. We can think of different possibilities, and they might be correct and they might not. You know what the one thing about life and about disasters is that everyone needs to have water and food. So a part of that is food preparation. And a part of food preparation is to have food stored. So always have food stored. It doesn't have to be the best food, but it does have to be food. It'll get you through those few days or maybe few weeks, or even in these days we have areas, pockets that have a few months of going without maybe electricity or maybe something, and it just happens that you have to get by with what you have for longer than you expected. There's not a real answer to what level your preparedness ought to be at. Some people say, have a few days of food. Yes, of course. But an earthquake can easily turn that into a few weeks of food. There are other disasters that happen. Everything is different. But you have to realize that all these things about up to you, all these things about getting food and your preparedness is up to you. And you get to figure out what is the most important and what your level of preparedness ought to be. But I do say, remember that you want to have thought and not fear. Do not act out of fear. Fear will get you to act, but it will be without enough thought. And, well, preparedness also prevents fear. So think about being prepared. It's just a benefit for everybody. Water is your most fundamental need. Yes, for drinking, but also for cooking, for cleaning, for bathing. Water is important. And you know that when you've heard about natural disasters, you've heard about the need for water. Water, bottled water, is airlifted into areas. That's how important it is. If there's a flood or a hurricane, the water sources all get contaminated. And they stay contaminated often for months. So water, what do you do for getting clean water? You get a water filter. And there's different ones out there. There's the big Berkey style, which is a passive, a gravity flow water filter. You put a gallon or two into the top, and it comes out over time, like overnight, for instance, or over an hour, and out of the underneath portion, you get clean and drinkable water. Another source for getting your water cleaned is to have a Katadyn water filter. Now, hikers use those. They're pump style. And, they're good too. It's just that it requires an action, a pump, that you have to pump the water through. And then there's another one called a SteriPen. The SteriPen is good too. It makes ultraviolet light, and it runs on batteries. And they last quite a while. And what they do is they don't clean the water, but they make it so anything in the water cannot reproduce with the ultraviolet light stops that process. So there are different possibilities, different answers to how you can get your water clean. A lot of things are just fine, but you will want to do something to be able to clean your water to make it drinkable. A lot of answers are easy. The easy answers are just fine. But sometimes your situation will require a little more of an involved answer. You know, another one is bleach. For bleach, just the regular old household bleach, that's a very denominated chlorine solution. And so you just use a few drops of bleach in a gallon of water, 8 drops of bleach in a water, and then you shake it and let it stand for half an hour before you drink it. That's for clean water. If you have murky water that doesn't look quite so clean, you double that to 16 drops of bleach. Shake it around and let it sit for half an hour. If it has a bad smell, you toss it out. If it smells like it's kind of okay, yeah, it's probably fine for drinking. So these are how you deal with water. There's a few ideas. Water filters are good. There's lots of answers. But the thing is if you are in an emergency situation, you're going to have to find answers. Everybody needs water. Why you need clean water is so that you don't get the bacteria in them into your body. And then what? Then what? You need anti-diarrheal pills. So by all means, get anti-diarrhea pills. You need those too in case somebody gets some bacteria or something in them. It might not just be for you, because it can spread to a whole family or even a neighborhood. You want lots of those little anti-diarrheal pills. Visitors can get it. Neighbors can get it. Diarrhea is really a dangerous, deadly situation, especially for youngsters, for babies, and for the older people. So do something about it and get those regular over-the-counter diarrhea pills. It's something you can do that's pretty easy. Well, remember that when you are in a situation where you have to rush to a toilet or an outhouse, you are more vulnerable too. So there's a very practical aspect to having those. Anyway, real emergencies, you kind of never know what they are, and you kind of never know how to deal with them. But you do keep trying, and you find ways that are the possibilities. Everybody has their own possibilities. You do too. So you think of the what if, and you take reasonable steps towards preparing for that unknown situation. Yes, in history, so many things have happened before. And to me, that means they could happen again. That's just the way human history goes. Probably won't, but it sure could. All sorts of conditions could come about, and we would want to be thankful for all the things in our life today, the wonderful blessings we have. But even in modern times, there have been people who have had to starve, really, literally starve. In the last 10 years in the world, it's happened plenty. In the last 50 years, it's happened plenty. My parents went to Europe in the early 1950s, so 70 years ago. And there were people there that were starving hungry too. And I remember them telling the story about getting apples at the market. And they shared the apples with some of the children that were around them. And those children ate that entire apple, except for the stem and the seeds. And I mean the not the core, but the stem. They were appreciative of having any little food. Always in the world, there are people who don't get enough food. And it is good and important to have that appreciation for food. Certainly in the midst of hungry people, we do. Here's another story. I remember when I was a young man, I thought that pesticides were just so terrible. And I talked with my grandmother about that. And my grandmother, who was pretty old then, she grew up in the 1890s, a long time ago. So my grandmother said to me, she loved pesticides. Oh, and that threw me for a loop. I didn't know what to think about that. But I talked with her about it, and she said she loved pesticides because when she grew up, every Brussels sprout that she used to buy had little teeny worms in them. Worms! And so you could not buy Brussels sprouts without worms at that time. But she said there were little teeny ones. But nowadays, with pesticides, you could buy your Brussels sprouts without worms. Oh, yeah, that threw me for a loop. She loved pesticides, that's what she said. Amazing. So I think the whole thing that really is that we can be thankful for everything that we have, and that's the mindset that I hope we all have, is appreciation for what we have. Even the food. There's always people in the world who don't have enough food. In this country also. But there's a great deal of waste in this country. At any rate, food. I think about my parents, and they also were kind of old, but they grew up having salted food. Why? Because salt preserved food. Now, I've ate some of the food that they thought was fine, and it was really pretty salty to me. I didn't like it. But for them, it was fine because they were used to it. And why was it salty? It was salty because, well, especially meat was salted to have it preserved. See, in those days, refrigeration was not really common. And 100 years ago, you had to figure out how to preserve your food just to have it so you can eat it later on. That was life. That was survival. And so you got used to eating salty food and meat. That's just the way it was. A lot of things have changed over time, haven't they? I know they have for me, and I know they have for you. But people do a lot of things just to prevent starvation. And nowadays, it is so easy to get the basics of wheat, rice, sugar, oil, and salt, and spices. And you can have other grains too. You can make bread, so get a wheat grinder, a manual wheat grinder. You can make bread or porridge, and that will keep you alive. Yeast is also good for bread making. You can keep that yeast alive too, just by adding sugar to the yeast and keeping it warm, and it will stay alive. It'll last for a long time, and that will be good for making your bread. Well, let's see. Whole grains, they last a long, long time. A lifetime, for instance. Well, white rice, too. That lasts a lifetime. So when you think of having stored grains, yes, have wheat, have white rice, have stored grains, have beans, lentils, split peas, corn kernels, all of that. But you don't want to grind it, because if you grind it too soon, it gets exposure to the air and it deteriorates its nutrition. So you need a wheat grinder. And here I am thinking about the just-in-case problems that might come about. And so you want a manual wheat grinder. Besides those basics, you also will want spices. A little bit of spice goes a long way. Now, nowadays, we use lots of spice. We're accustomed to it. But if you were to go without your spices, it would only take a little time, and you would be longing for any little extra flavor. And that means you don't need much spice to have your bread or your porridge or whatever it is have an extra bit of appeal. So use your spice sparingly, but definitely have spices also. A little spice, even a little pepper, goes a long way in making plain old food more desirable. So, yeah, you just have all these different things to think about. That's just how it goes. Acorns. A lot of people think about acorns as having acorn flowers and living like the Indians did. Well, it's not as easy as you think. There's a process to getting the bitter taste out of acorns, and that is by putting it in water, soaking it. One method was to get a basket, put your acorns that had been shelled, into the basket, and leaving them in a stream. And then the water would, after a few days, take most of the bitterness out. A similar process is people would get a plastic bucket, put their acorns in a bucket, and change the water twice a day. And that would absorb some of the bitterness and get the bitterness out of the acorns as well. Well, after that, you have to pound the acorns to make it into a paste or a flour. And then you have to dry out that paste so it doesn't turn moldy. And you have to make sure that it's not on too high a heat. If it's on too high of a heat, the gluten is disrupted, and your bread doesn't turn out so good. Well, acorn bread doesn't turn out so good anyway. So a lot of people nowadays, if they are making acorn bread, acorn flour, they add about 1/3 wheat flour to it, just to make it more according to what we're used to. So yes, you could survive on acorn flour, but it takes some doing. And another thing is it only lasts for a few months after you have pounded it. into a flour-like consistency. So it's just how it works, that if you're looking to survive, yes, there are ways, but it sure takes a lot of time. The answer right now is that you do what you can now to store up some food for the just in case. That's pretty easy. There's lots of sources for food right now, and I always say, get the grains. Grains are good to have because they store the nutrition and it doesn't degrade because it's in a whole wheat form. It's whole, and it stays for a long time, 10 years, 50 years, something like that. A lifetime, yeah. It lasts. Yes, it does deteriorate somewhat, but not like if it was turned into flour. So I do advocate having grains for the just-in-case situations. Well, there are people who talk about living off the land, and they think they can go into the hills and what? I don't know what. Shoot deer and squirrels? Yeah. Doesn't work out so good, I'll tell you. From the experiences I have read about, no, it's you want to get your grains and store them. That's really your best alternative. Store up some food, basic food. Yes, I have some small experience with the Hmong people in Southeast Asia. The Hmong people were allies of the United States government during the Vietnam War. And they saved many, many, many downed U.S. pilots during that Vietnam War. Well, after the Vietnam War, the USA left many of those Hmong allies there in the jungles to fend for themselves. And they did fend for themselves. Thousands of Hmong people lived in the jungles, primarily of Laos, but other countries also. And they were chased and used for target practice whenever the Laotian army could do so. The communist Laotian government viewed those people as traitors and could not be trusted, and so they ought to be killed. That was the way it was at the time. So I have talked with Hmong people who have lived in the jungles, and they do tell similar stories to survival in the jungle and being chased by the armies. Well, now that was happening in the 2000s, even like 2002, 2004, and then there were some efforts to take the Hmong people out of the jungles at that time. And astoundingly, it was just astounding to me that about one third of those Hmong people who lived in the jungles had never tasted rice. Hey, they're in Asia. They'd never tasted rice. Why? Because they were literally chased and hunted. That's what happened to them. Oh, yeah, and they were the enemy who deserved to be killed because they had helped the Americans during the Vietnam War. So, according to that communist philosophy, those soldiers, the Hmong soldiers, and their children and their grandchildren, all needed to be eliminated because America had infected them. So there were thousands of Hmong who lived in the jungles of Southeast Asia. And what did they do to survive? They lived on the roots that they dug up. They peeled the roots, they pounded the roots, and they ate the roots. What a processing. Yes, it's kind of similar to the acorns. The acorns would do for food, and the roots would do for food. Yes, you boiled them, you cooked them, and then you ate them. And that was what was available. So I think that we can all appreciate the wonderful foods that we have today and can buy them. We can buy in quantity wheat, beans, legumes, other grains, and they are plentiful now in our society. So I say, yeah, get some. Get some today. By all means, get some. They're for the just-in-case emergency food. Have some oil, some sugar, and some salt. And some flavorings, too. That just is the very basic of your food supply. Yes, white rice is good, too. Don't get brown rice, because brown rice will not last even a year because of the oil in it. But white rice, that will last 50 years. Now, I listen to news sources, and there has been one source that talks about the world supply of food getting less and less every year. So, how long would our food supply last if literally we could not plant and harvest any more food? And apparently at this point it is a little over a month now. It has been going down for every few years, and certainly over the decades. From a 6-month food supply now to maybe 6 weeks. So what does that mean? I don't know, but there could be famine and there could be hunger in the world. And what if we were to have a climate change, maybe scorching hot weather, and maybe a mini ice age? If a volcano went off, we could easily have a mini ice age. In 1815, there was a big volcano that went off. It was called Mount Tambora. Again, Southeast Asia. And the year after it went off was called the Year Without a Summer. So a year after, in July of 1816, if you left a glass of water out overnight, it would freeze. That was pretty common. So the crops did not mature, and there were many areas of the earth that experienced famine. Could we have another cold spell like that? Certainly we could. Another volcano went off in 1883. That was Krakatoa. And it affected crops also, but not as much as Mount Tambora. So we know these things can happen. Oh, we know there could be other things that happen. In the 1840s, there was Ireland that lost well over half of its potato crop, and that went on for 7 years. So there was a lot of starvation of people in Ireland, too. Now, it continues into the 1900s. There's all sorts of things. In the Great Depression in America in the 1830s, there were swarms of grasshoppers. Oh, they were called locusts also. And they ate up the entire crops of many of those Midwestern states. In the heartland of America, crops were lost completely. If you listen to the stories, you will hear how people tell about their laundry being left out on the line to dry. And the locusts came through, grasshoppers, and they ate the wash that was on the line so that none of it was usable again. And that would just happen in 15 or 20 minutes. It was a very quick thing. There were so many swarms of those grasshoppers, locusts. And so, yeah, that was less than 100 years ago. Other countries have had similar things happen where the insects eat the crops and the people starve. It's just another realization that it has happened in history. It has happened before, and it can happen again. And how would you expect to be saved if that happened in our land? Do you think the government would save you? Well, the government doesn't have any food stored up. It has zero, none, no food storage, none saved up whatsoever. Well, there is a little bit, but it's not to feed the people, and it's not to feed the military troops. If there was a nationwide food shortage, no, there is a very small amount of meals ready to eat, MREs, that indeed are for the elite of the military and of the politicians. They have food supplies, but they don't tell us to get them. All right, who else? The Red Cross. Do you think the Red Cross and other compassionate groups are going to supply anyone with food? Well, they do a lot of good. Oh, yes, they do. But they don't have any supply of food. No, if they are going to distribute food, they have to buy it first. So, hardly any people in our nation have any stored food, not to feed themselves and not to feed people that they love and care about. That's the situation today. And you remember Y2K? Well, it turned out to be a non-event. But I know just a couple of years after Y2K, there was an article that said that there was 2 or 3% of the U.S. population that were preppers. Okay. And last year, I heard there were more people concerned about our system remaining intact. And so now there are 6 to 8% of the U.S. population who are preppers. You know, to a greater or a lesser degree. We don't know that they have a month of food or a year of food or a week of food. They just consider themselves to be preparing for the just in case. Well, we have had famines in the world. You go back to Joseph in Egypt. In biblical times, there was a famine, lasted 7 years. The potato famine in Ireland in the 1840s, that lasted 7 years too. There was famines in Russia and in China and in Bangladesh and in Africa and now in Venezuela. People don't have enough food to eat. It happens. It's a reality of the world we live in. And let's see, it was the UN who said that 12% of the world is undernourished. Now, I don't know about their statistics or any of the statistics, but there are people who are undernourished. And how do you deal with that? You deal with that by having food. You have food so that you don't starve. That's the answer to famine, and it's what we need every day. Water and food. Oh, and warmth. So, it was just about a year ago, a little over, there was the President's National Infrastructure Advisory Council. They had a release that was made in conjunction with Homeland Security. And they said that there was a danger that every American should be prepared for, and that was to live without electricity. Wow, that's a big thing. Now, it wasn't exactly said, but there were indications that they were talking about 6 months or longer. Well, during that time, if we didn't have electricity, there would be no transportation, no fuel to buy, no banking, and no health care. It would be, wow, what a situation. So we get prepared as best we know how. And what do? We have a little food insurance. And yes, people buy insurance. They really do. So you can buy food, and that is a form of insurance. Well, a lot of people sell insurance, and a lot of people use it. There's lots and lots of claims. You just think about people with automobile insurance. In our state, it's required that everybody has automobile insurance. So insurance must be a pretty good idea, you would think, huh? So how about getting some food insurance? Yeah, that's a good idea for the just in case, because probably the food in your house would not last very long. And if we had an electrical outage or a grid down situation, well, the food in your refrigerator would not last very long. And how much food do you have in your cupboards? It's a really good question to think about and to get some food set aside for that just-in-case situation. And that's why I like grains. Grains, because the grains, you're not likely to eat them because it takes work to prepare. You buy them and they're going to stay as the just-in-case food. And remember your sugar, salt, and oil. Oh, there's more to it than that, too. But you get a few of those basic staple foods, including white rice and beans. Peanut butter is good. Spaghetti is good. And in fact, you can start with just a 5-gallon bucket of your just-in-case food. Just get a plastic bucket with a lid and have some of your basic food in there. Rice, beans, salt, and sugar. Peanut butter, maybe spaghetti and pepper and multivitamins. It just, we all have a different idea of what each one of us should have. The important thing is that you have something. Get something and put it into storage for that just in case. A lot of people rely on cans, and canned foods are good. They taste good. They're good. But you don't want to have, your salt and any cans stored together. Tomatoes are highly acidic, so those cans often go bad. After a few years. 5 years or something? My point is that you want to have some food that will stay and last forever and ever. Cans do not, but they are good for having a few around because they really can add to a plain old dish like white rice. Yes, and white rice, like I said, it lasts and lasts and lasts. So there's a few things you want to store separately, like one container only for salt, one container for your matches, yeah, because they can impart a taste to food also. Another container for flashlight batteries. Batteries are so good to have. Now, they can start to leak, especially if they are in a device, and that's why you should never, ever have your batteries kept in a flashlight or a radio or something. Yeah. Batteries are good and they're important, but store them separately. There's a whole lot of things that you will want to have if our lights go out. And that's something we each have to think about and make a list. And then slowly act on that list. Now, there can be a long list or a short list. We are all different. And you can look at other people's lists. It seems like they're all over the place if you start to look. And there's many lists that are just plain too long. They're too long. You couldn't even get everything on those lists if you wanted to. But you can look over those lists for inspiration and get ideas and see how you can make it suitable to what you want for you or your family. I have a list too, and I send it out for free to anybody who sends me a stamped self-addressed envelope. So, yeah, send away for several lists. Look on the computer. There's plenty of lists around, and that'll give you ideas and inspiration to see if there's anything you want to add to your thinking or your preparations. So always have preparations. It's a good idea. Make plans about what you would want to do, what your children want to, what you want them to do. And then when you have a plan, carry it out probably a little bit at a time. But everybody starts someplace. So have a few things stored for the just in case. Even canned goods. Even if it's a week's worth, have something that is set aside for your just in case. Just in case. So we all start someplace. It will, everyone's different. But do go ahead and start. And give thanks to God for all the things that you do have, because God has given us so much, and we give him thanks for all of it. And I thank you also for listening to Christ Today. And remember that you can listen to past broadcasts by going to www.christtoday.org, lowercase and no spaces. Remember, you can get my free preparedness pamphlet by sending me a stamped self-addressed envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Thank you for your prayers, and may you walk with God, and may God walk with you. Let me live inside your